Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Safe.
Let me say the same.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Carey. And let's rock and roll here a little bit, Mike. This young lady was one of the most incredible performers in the history of rock and roll or otherwise when it comes to music. Unbelievable. You got that?
Of course, we're talking about Miss Tina Turner, who passed away this week. Gone too soon. An incredible artist, great singer, great performer, an incredible story as well. So may her memory be a blessing.
You know, I saw a documentary on here years ago. I think it was called Live from Amsterdam. And the show that she put on, I think she was in her early 70s at that point in time, absolutely knocked me out. She's doing every song with all the dancers, knows all the moves. An incredible performer. We will definitely miss you. Thank you for your contribution.
Absolutely.
So, let's talk about your Lakers, Mike. I know you're a little bit disappointed with that thing, but, you know, they battled every game. And, of course, you know, it didn't end well blowing a 15-point lead in the final game.
It did not. It just didn't feel good to blow a 15-point lead. It didn't feel good to be swept. And it didn't feel good for LeBron James to, literally minutes after the end of the game, he was musing retirement. I personally think that that was sort of a passive-aggressive message to the Buss family and management that he wants more help around him, even though they got him Anthony Davis and all these other players at the trade deadline. But that's neither here nor there. But it was a sad thing. But the Nuggets were the better team.
No question. If you can't win a game, then it's hard to say otherwise. And yes, there were some close games. But Nikola Jokic, he's got my stamp, my certified stamp, and all due respect to Joel Embiid. Jokic proved to me that he's the best basketball player in the world.
Best player in the league and the world, I would say.
I can't believe the ease of which he is able to get triple-doubles. He is the center of the action. He revolves in a circle in the post and outside. He runs the ball up the floor. He dishes. He's a great passer, great scorer. Incredible performance of them. They are my pick, as I said, to go all the way. And I would suggest that the Oakland A's are destined to have the number one pick in next year's draft. We'll be right back after this with Corey Close.
Hi, this is Dodger legend Ron Say. If you're a business owner, would you like to save 20 to 30% on your monthly health insurance premium while improving your benefits? Then give BFF Financial a call. If you have more than 10 employees and you're interested in building a tax-free retirement income that can be funded with tax-deductible dollars, then give BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Those are just two of the things that my friends at BFF Financial can help you with. They make some of the most important financial decisions that a business owner must make. Easy to understand. Many of my friends who are business owners always talk about how much they are looking to stretch their budgets and do more for their employees, their family, and themselves. If you are in the same situation, give my friends at BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Call the team at BFF Financial at 888-908-4BFF to get a free consultation. Tell them Ron sent you. BFF Financial, simplifying the complex. 888-908-4BFF or visit us at BFFFinancial.com.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Hello everyone, Fred Dreyer here for Balance7.com. Do you suffer from low energy, acid reflux, heartburn, joint discomfort, or a weak immune system? Well, Balance 7 is your answer. Balance 7 dilutes the acid in your body and kickstarts your immune system. That's right. 3 sips a day is all you need. In 3 days, you will feel the difference. Balance 7 is my go-to drink to energize me every day. Stop taking those caffeinated, sugar-filled energy drinks. Balance 7 works. Remember, a sick body is an acid body. So, cut the acid in your body with Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. Use the code word FRED to get $15 off your order and free shipping. Plus a money-back guarantee. Man, you can't beat this. Call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Or go to Balance7.com. And don't forget the code word FRED.
They still call me the Penguin.
We have returned. We'll see about that. Ron Say here with Mike Airy, and we have a very special guest today, a head women's basketball coach for the past 12 years, Corey Close. Corey, welcome to our show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be with you guys.
You know, I want to get into your beginnings here a little bit. I know that you grew up, you went to Milpitas High School, is that it?
You got it, Milpitas High School, a Bay Area kid.
Yeah.
Yep, grew up there. My dad was a teacher at Milpitas High School for 35 years and was there my whole life.
I want to tell you that I have my sister-in-law that put her kids through school at Milpitas. My daughter lives in Mill Valley. And one of the things that I was brought, the attention was brought to Milpitas High School was when the kids were out on the field and all the pigeons were on the field, swarming the field. Do you remember all that? I could not believe it.
I do said, remember all that.
You talk about getting hit with a ball. There were going to be a lot of dead pigeons out there, I think. They were just, they outnumbered everybody by hordes. It was amazing to see all that.
Yeah, it was sort of a nasty state of affairs. So, yeah, you just definitely took your life in your hands with those pigeons, for sure.
So, what were your parents involved with, and how did you, what were you doing when you were growing up in Milpitas? Were you always involved in sports?
Well, I first started out that I was the only girl in my neighborhood. So if I wanted to have any friends whatsoever, you better be learning to play a lot of sports in the streets and just play a lot of different games, and whether it be touch football after church on a Sunday afternoon, or, you know, or whether it's soccer really was my first love. But, you know, my dad was a teacher and coach, and both my parents were involved in education, but also in an organization called Young Life, which really is an outreach to junior high and high school kids. And so we just really saw our house as an open home for people to come and hang out. And so I just sort of grew up that it was about using your life to affect other people. And you know, it took a lot of different forms. But I think that really was where my passion for coaching really started, because, you know, that's how they saw their entire life, is using whatever they were doing, whether it be teaching, whether it be sports and coaching, whether it be Young Life, as an opportunity to impact others. And so that's sort of all I knew. And so I came into coaching, you know, later on. And that's because I grew up playing sports, but more importantly, using my life to, you know, seeing it role modeled for me to use your life to affect others.
When did you start playing organized sports?
probably 5 years old in that like little soccer league. There's a picture of when I was my dad was coaching high school boys, and I was out there in this little dress with a ball at halftime at 2.5. But organized sports, I think I started with like, you know, police athletic league soccer at about 5 years old. That little beehive basketball, you know, where you're just going around beehive soccer, excuse me, hive soccer, when you're just going following the ball around. But I started there. But I'm a huge proponent of playing as many sports as you possibly can, you know, until you, as long as you can. I'm not a big fan of the specialization early. I just love to play, and I love the, what it taught me, and I loved how it trained my body as well as my mind and as well as my relationships, as well as my leadership. And, you know, I wasn't conscious of all that at that time, but looking back, it was just such a formidable thing.
Basketball, what were your influences to go to basketball?
Well, my one of my big influences is a guy named Steve Kane, and he's one of the most successful boys high school basketball coaches in the Bay Area. And he lived three doors up from me, and he had a basketball court in his backyard, and I started doing all my practicing back there. And he would come out and, you know, help me out and guide me along. And but honestly, it was a time in women's sports that soccer, I was probably better at soccer, but there was no scholarships, and my family really would have been hard for them to pay for college. And so I knew that if I wanted to get a scholarship, then basketball was a much better chance, because they had so many more scholarships per school. And so I really went because of that need, and it's worked out pretty well for me. But, I still love soccer. And actually, my only state championship in high school was in badminton, of all things.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I mean,
I didn't know they had a state tournament for that. You
know, exactly. So I didn't either until I got to high school. But bottom line, though, is that basketball really became a vehicle for me to get my education paid for. And I never would have dreamed it would turn into what I've been able to experience.
Well, certainly it translated into, an opportunity for you. You know, you got to go. How did you decide to go to the University of Santa Barbara, UCSB?
Well, yeah, UCSB, it's interesting. I played for such a great guy in Mark French, and my parents had said no UCs. My dad was not only a high school teacher and coach, but he was also a guidance counselor. And he had had this unbelievable college experience at a D3 school outside of Chicago called Wheaton College. Mm-hmm. And he just was afraid I was going to be a number if I went to a UC school, which is very funny, because I ended up getting my undergrad from UC Santa Barbara, my graduate degree from UCLA. So obviously that changed courses. But what really changed it, I wasn't that good, honestly, out of high school. I wasn't that heavily recruited. I had this one sort of blue chip recruiting camp that I went to and performed well. And so I got these D1 offers, but I just really wasn't that heavily recruited. So I thought I was going to go to Wheaton College, and I was going to figure out a way to do that. But this guy named Mark French asked to come and do a home visit, and it really came down to UC Santa Barbara or Pepperdine for me. And Mark French just had such a vision for how to use basketball for life. And he was a really big proponent and, you know, philosophy of Stephen Covey. Everything was about habits of excellence. And you are what you repeatedly do. And excellence is therefore not an act, but a habit. He quoted that more times than I would care to admit. And he just, you know, he just had a greater vision. And he came into our home and just blew my family away for how he believed in me, how he was going to allow me to help them, lead them to get their program to an NCAA tournament, which I couldn't even dream of, because the year before they were 0-18 in conference play. And but he had a vision, and he had a vision for my character and not just for my game. And he just really impressed my family. And I couldn't be any more happy that I got a chance to be under his leadership for those 4 years.
Well, it sounds like a really good choice. And I guess there's something to be said for the combines, you know.
They were a little different then. But yes, absolutely. Because my ticket.
You can definitely make a difference regardless of the kind of season. If you go grade out well, you're going to get some people to turn turn their heads. And, you know, that was really a tough choice, Corey. Two universities right on the water, Pepperdine and UCSB.
Was the surf better?
Was the surf better in Santa Barbara? Is that the choice?
Yeah. You know, I think at that time I hadn't learned to surf yet, but I will tell you, I couldn't have gone wrong, could I, you know, in terms of location. I mean, I've only lived in California or Florida. So I'm like, okay, I only do these sunshine states and beach states, but Pepperdine and UC Santa Barbara are two of the most beautiful campuses in America. So I was pretty lucky to have those choices.
Just to add parenthetically, too, I had some very heady times on Del Playa Street at UCSB in my youth. So take with
heady
that what
times.
You want.
Yeah. I gotcha. Uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah.
I know exactly what kind of heady times that happened there.
Yeah, well, you know, you had some terrific success while you were there as a player. You were in the Hall of Fame. You got to the tournament a couple times. You got to the second round. You're one of the ten. You're all over the place in all the statistics that are held by the UC school women's program. So you got to be very proud of that. Certainly, your contribution, paved a way. And
yeah, first player in school history to have over 1,000 points and 500 assists in her career, and it's ranked amongst the top 10 in 7 Gaucho UCSB statistical categories.
Yeah, well
I
want to.
I appreciate it.
I do want to. We're going to have to break here in about 30 seconds, but I do want to get back into some of your more memorable moments while you were playing there. Maybe the biggest game that you played in, maybe your best game that you played, the friendships that you met along those lines. But yeah, we've got quite a bit to talk about. We have Corey Close, the UCLA women's basketball coach, with us today, and we will be returning to We'll See About That right after this.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save. Hello, everyone, and we are back. We'll see about that. Ron Say here with Corey Close. Corey, elaborate a little bit on your time as a player, your games, the important ones, the ones that really got your attention, your friendships.
Well, I think it really does start with the friendships, right? You know, I think that also, you know, look, I look back on my playing career and, you know, my very first year, I ruptured my Achilles tendon. So I really only played 3 years. And being able to learn how to overcome adversity, develop great friendships, have an impact, build something that had never been done before. They had never been to the NCAA tournament before at UC Santa Barbara. And to just be a small piece of that building process, it was just so rewarding and so memorable. And, you know, I remember calling home and my first year and being proud that there was 200 people in the Thunderdome. And I thought, you know, and we were really like excited about that. And then when we got to pull back the curtains and more people came up, and then, you know, in the NCAA tournament, when I was junior and senior year, having it sold out. And, you know, when I was just being a part of building that. And now I look at, you know, being a part of, as a coach, of rebuilding programs and building them to new heights. I think it started with being a player at UC Santa Barbara. I had one game where I had 27 points and 13 assists. And so that was against Long Beach State, and that was fun. I even had a behind the back pass, which was fun. And at that time, that was like, whoa.
Yes, it was.
Know? But, you know, it was really tremendous. You know, it was a great growth process. But I think it put inside of me a vision that it's really fun to build stuff, and it's really fun to do them for the first time. And well, so I think that's even now what I would love to do.
No question. And as far as, you know, you getting your start, you know, you spent some time at Florida State. You helped build that program. Mm-hmm. How was that?
Well, I just I got to work under a great boss in Sue Samrow and, you know, learn from people like Bobby Bowden. I got to be there in sort of his last years there. And, you know, and he was, again, a trailblazer. He built that thing from nothing to, as a football program, for 14 out of 15 years, finishing in the top five in the country. Like, who does that? You know, and yeah. So I got to be a part of this really small college town that was just, you know, so passionate about their sports and really be a part of some really great building opportunities, you know. But I also, a really hard story, you know, I realized my second day on the job, June 8th, I'll never forget it. We got a call in the middle of the night and our starting center had passed away suddenly of Marfan syndrome. And all of a sudden it put in perspective of watching these young women come together. And there was pressure on our job. We knew we had to go to the NCAA tournament. And to add fuel to that fire, in August, our starting point guard got pregnant. And so this is in my first summer there. And I was like, oh, great. This could be a short stint, you know, in Tallahassee. But you know what? Those kids taught me more than I could have ever taught them about what it means to love each other through hard times, what it means to focus and cut out the noise and focus at the task at hand. And we ended up winning 27 games and going to the second round of the NCAA tournament that year with that team. And, you know, that just was such a formidable thing. But being at Florida State was one of the great joys I've had in my career. And I don't think I would have been ready for this UCLA job if I hadn't had that stint in Tallahassee, Florida.
So what was your big break to get you back to UCLA?
Well, I think that they really wanted someone with UCLA ties. And one of the things, so I was an assistant coach here from 93 to 95. And I started this really cool friendship with this guy named John Wooden. And I had the unbelievable privilege of being mentored by him for 15 years, really. Oh. And so I just got a chance to learn from him. And it sort of got some publicity at different points about the friendship that we had formed. And And so when this job came open, I think they really wanted somebody with the ties and that understood the UCLA history and the brand and wanted to be a part of that. And it was my first head coaching job. So they really took a risk on me. But I think it was because of my previous ties and because of the mentorship I had received from Coach Wooden that allowed me to get into the door coming back here in 2011.
Like, what did John Wooden's famous pyramid of success factor into your career at all? Did you bring any of that to your coaching career?
Absolutely. You know, but more so than his pyramid of success, the way that it hangs on the wall, but the way I watched him live it. Those are not just blocks that are words that are motivational, and that though they are. But, you know, so many things he talks about, like he would look me in the eye and he says, remember, Corey, you're not coaching people's jump shots. You're coaching people's hearts. But then he would just say, but you know what? If you coach their hearts really well, usually their jump shots end up being pretty good too. You know, but he had all these great things that, you know, in my office, I have two things. I have a broom and a shovel. And the broom is to remind me to be a servant leader. There's a great book called Legacy that talks about the All Blacks rugby team in New Zealand, and their executives and their captains sweep the sheds every day. Wow. And so I want to remind myself to be a servant leader. And then there's a shovel. And, you know, my good friend John Gordon says, you know, if you want to see the fruit, you got to always nurture the root. And it's just to remind me to be a leader that coaches people's hearts, not just coaches people's jump shots. And all of that comes from watching and learning from and speaking with Coach Wooden. And he was the one who gave me the vision that you could do it differently. But you didn't have to be outcome based. You could still win at the highest levels. He won 10 national championships in 12 years. But you could still be process oriented. You could still teach life through sport. You could still put people's hearts first. You could still be transformational over transactional. And he's really the reason that I coach the way I do.
Well, I would say that you learned a lesson well. John Wooden was the real deal. I knew him well. I've gotten a chance to meet a number of players who've gone through the program over the years, and one of the first things he did was have that meeting where he'd show you how to put on your socks.
How to tie the shoes. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
you've got kids from all over the country, and your first message to them opening practice is, this is how you tie your shoes, or put on your socks. That was hysterical. I thought it was absolutely perfect.
And you know, somebody sees so many stories about, you know, college basketball coaches, all coaches, you know, being very blustery and, you know, sometimes very, very, you know, aggressive when it comes to their players. John Wooden never swore. And if he said this one phrase, what is it, good gracious sakes alive, that was like the thing that you never want to hear.
That was the death of you. Yeah, you didn't want to hear that, good gracious sakes alive. Absolutely not. But you know what's so interesting is I had heard that story probably 100 times about the socks and the shoes. And, you know, and I decided I was going to honor him when I got here and have a different alumni come in and do that with my team to start out. Yeah. And I thought I was just doing it just to honor him, but I didn't really know how deep the wisdom goes. But Rafer Johnson came in and spoke to my team and told them about this, how he did that. And he said, you know, I'm a track star that was in basketball and I was insecure and I was around all these All-Americans and all I could do is run fast, but they were so skilled and different religions and different points of the country and all these different things. And he says, but you know what? When he was done teaching us how to put our shoes and socks on the same way, he would look around and say, we may all be different. We may all come from different walks of life, but you know what? We're ready to become a team now because we all start by putting our shoes and socks on the same way. And Rafer Johnson just said he took a deep breath and being like, okay, we're ready. Okay, I can be a part of this team. And so everything he did had such intentionality. And he just did things in a way that were just wise and perceptive and long-term oriented. And I just couldn't be more grateful to have learned from him.
You know, I always felt that his biggest coup was in recruiting when he got Lou Alcindor to come out of New York Power Memorial High School years and years ago. How do you talk a kid from New York City to come out here to the West Coast, all the way across the country, and be a part of your team. And I think Lucius Allen was the one who followed him in after that, and then the rest is history. They lose two games over that course of time and establish probably the greatest dynasty in college basketball history, no question.
Absolutely, yeah. No, and I think that, you know, obviously now the world is a little smaller, and you know, but I have four right. internationals on my team, let alone three East Coasters, you know, and so it's just, I only had three kids on my team last year from the state of California. And so it's just incredible that how this all has worked together. But he was just beyond his years in being able to recruit kids to an experience that transcended geography and many other things.
Exactly. Well, you know, you certainly dove in when you got to be the head coach to the Conference of Champions. You know, you've got three schools there, with Stanford, USC, and UCLA, who've all won over 100 national championships. And there's not another school in the country that's won over 30. That had to be a little bit difficult trying to come into with all this competition. And you got Tara Vanderveer up in Stanford, who's been, you know, has won everything, done everything as a coach. Were you intimidated at all, a little bit?
Yes. No question. In fact, I went to Tara Vanderveer's basketball camp when I was a sophomore in high school, her first year at Stanford. And then, you know, here I played against her in the NCAA tournament when I was a student athlete at Santa Barbara. And then here I am coming in. I remember coming into my interview here at UCLA, and I was looking around in that trophy room downstairs. Oh my gosh, in the Hall of Fame. And I was like, what the heck am I getting myself into? I've never coached a game, let alone a national championship game. And now I'm coming to UCLA, who at that time had won more national championships than anybody. And then I'm going against, you know, Tara Vanderveer and all these people. It's just incredible. And, you know, honestly, I did refer back to something that Coach Wooden used to always say. He'd be like, never try to be somebody else. Never try to even be better than somebody else. Be the best person that you're uniquely styled to be and created to be. And he used to tell the story about his parenting next to his wife, Nellie. And he would talk about how their parenting styles were both really, really effective, but completely different because their personalities were totally different. And that really freed me up. Like, I don't need to try to be Tara Vanderveer. I don't need to try to be John Wooden. I need to try to be the best version of Corey Close for the sake of these other people. And I don't think if I had had that sort of interaction with him, I think it would have been much harder. But I was still intimidated. Don't get me wrong.
Good, great. I'm interested to continue along that conversation. We're going to have to take a break here. We will return with, we'll see about that, right after this with Corey Close.
Wendy's Strawberry Frosty is back for the summer. Because if it's summertime, it's frosty time. Beach time? Frosty time. Tea time? Frosty time. Me time? Frosty time. Treat yourself to Wendy's Strawberry Frosty this summer and make time for Frosty time. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Now open till midnight or later.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Hours may vary.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Wake up, people. You're optimizing every waking hour of your life. From carpooling kids, to work, to friends, and everything in between. You have to get sleep and a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements, learning how you sleep so you learn to sleep better night after night. Sleep next level. only from Sleep Number. And now during our Memorial Day sale, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed, plus free home delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
IBM Cloud Carbon Calculator is an AI-informed dashboard that gives organizations access to standards-based cloud emissions data with just a few clicks, helping them build a more sustainable future. As businesses move further on their hybrid multi-cloud journeys, they're working to deliver innovation while meeting growing ESG demands. Brianna Frank, Vice President, IBM Cloud.
Emissions reporting is becoming commonplace worldwide, yet inadequate data is the biggest obstacle to making ESG progress. With the IBM Cloud Carbon Calculator, we are making it easier for our clients to assess the data they need to address their carbon impact and to make more informed decisions.
The IBM Cloud Carbon Calculator enables organizations to track their emissions across various workloads down to the cloud service level and help further advance their sustainability objectives. The new dashboard complements IBM's existing sustainability solutions and expertise. By infusing data with AI into daily operations, IBM helps companies make sustainability strategies actionable. To learn more, visit ibm.com/think. Sponsored by IBM.
Steve Carlton going head-to-head with Ron Say. High drive into deep left field. Back goes Leszczynski. It's gone! Fred Slammer!
2-2 to Say.
It's high in the air to deep left field. Winfield back. She's gone!
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours. The decisions are yours.
The fans.
This week in Dodger baseball history, presented by BFF Financial. We have two this week. We have May 28, 1957. The National League gives Walter O'Malley and Horace Stoneham permission to negotiate deals with cities on the West Coast. The first step to bring the Dodgers to the beautiful city of Los Angeles. Also, later on, we have Paul Laduca, one of my favorite Dodgers of all time, an 11-inning slugfest with Colorado. Mr. Laduca goes 6-for-6 in an 11-10 victory at Dodger Stadium. And that is This Week in Dodger History, presented by BFF Financial.
And I want to tell you that I have a little story to tell about Paul Laduca. You know, it's back about the time that I first started working for the Dodgers under Peter O'Malley. And I was in spring training, and I've read the scouting reports. And Paul Laduca is outperforming the scouting reports, and he's not making much headway. And so finally, it's time to knock on the door, guys. I mean, listen, this kid deserves a chance, an opportunity. And eventually he was able to get it. But sometimes things come a little bit harder for others. But Paul eventually broke through the door, and he became an all-star caliber catcher for us. So congratulations, Paul Laduca. And now, Corey, we're back to you. And I want to know how you feel like your program is improving. I want to talk about the kind of people that you recruit to your program, and what are your goals? What are your team goals?
Well, you know, this probably this ventures to be the most talented team I've ever coached in my 30 years of coaching. And, you know, we're preseason, which I don't put a lot of stock in, but just to give you a context, that we're preseason ranked number 4 in the country. We have a great mix of young and old, and you know, really talented, very versatile. We really got a great transfer actually from Stanford, and Lauren Betts, that's going to be with us this year. And we have number one recruiting class in the country that will be sophomores coming up this year. So really excited about our potential. But you know, bottom line though is you don't win with individuals. You don't go to the highest level. So it's going to be our challenge to put all those pieces together, those individually talented pieces, into being a synergistic team that values the four letters across our chest, or UCLA, above anything else, and really just become a beautiful picture that works really well together. So that's going to be our challenge, but we're really excited, and we've got great depth, great versatility, but also we have great students. We have great young women who invest in their community. It's a different time in college sports, obviously, with name, image, and likeness. You've got the transfer portal. There's a lot of noise where you could choose to play the me game. And we always say, we don't do me here, we do we here. And the emphasis all along is we. And it's we have three core values: being people of gratitude, being lifestyle givers, and having a growth mindset. And that's not easy to have really, really talented people who are willing to sacrifice for the sake of a greater good. And I'm really fortunate to coach 13 amazing young women that have really adopted that philosophy.
Well, it sounds like you've really got things in order. I really have liked what you had to say. You've got some core value people there. I know you guys. You had a lot of teams in the conference: Stanford, Utah, Arizona, Washington State, my alma mater. Their program has improved immensely, and I'm thrilled about that. You got to the third round in this last tournament. You lost to South Carolina, which most people thought may have been the best team.
Number one seed. Yeah.
And they fell. You had Angel Reese and LSU, and you had Caitlin Clark, Iowa, going at it. That little flack that went on. What do you make of that? Not much?
Well, I've coached them both with USA Basketball, so I know them both. And, it's hard because on the one hand, if they were my daughters, I don't know, maybe those conversations will be like, okay, what are we trying to accomplish here? And what's the sports, manship that we're trying to do? And, I don't know. But having known them, they're fierce competitors. And I do wonder, would it be such a big deal if LeBron James did the same thing? No. Would it be such a big deal if Steph Curry did the same thing? I do think that people are not used to women being that exuberant and enthusiastic and a little trash talking back and forth. And in my opinion, it doesn't make them any less feminine. It doesn't make them any less, just great people. They're very intense competitors that are in a very intense moment with a lot of pressure and a lot of publicity. And sometimes things like that come out. And so I do ask the question, would it be as big of a deal if it was men doing the exact same thing in the Final Four of the men as you saw from Caitlin Clark and from Angel Reese? I just don't think as many people are used to seeing it.
Yeah, well, I think it's it's a double standard.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it's a complete double standard.
It's hard. Is Caitlin Clark a generational player?
Yes. And believe me, I one of the things I love about her is you all the trash talking that she did, she can take it too. Like there's an amazing story. We were coaching a gold medal game against Australia and we were down, and actually Jeff Walls, the coach at Louisville, went to her and said, "Hey, if we have an injury situation and I have to pick someone to shoot the free throw, you're going to be it. Be ready." Well, it happened and we were down and an intentional foul happened. It was last 30 seconds and Caitlin Clark missed. She only made one of two. And so literally after we lost to South Carolina, her coach was calling me for a scouting report trying to tips, and Caitlin happened to be in the room, and I was like, "Hey, it's about time you learn to make some free throws." Goodness gracious, but the reality is that Caitlin Clark is a generational player. She does it in not only her points, her assists, but not only what she's brought to Iowa basketball, but look at what she's done for the entire game.
Absolutely.
And I just don't think you can see, they've already now in May sold out three games for next year in Iowa, not all in her college town. In Des Moines, there are, these neutral site games, and every one of them are already sold out that are already on tap. And so I just don't know how you can argue that she's a generational player.
And we should note, too, that the 2023 women's national NCAA tournament had its highest ratings in its history last year. And I think Caitlin Clark had a lot to do with that.
No question. I'm happy to see the women getting more of a share these days because they're extremely talented. Trust me, they're doing things that, 15, 20 years ago that you wouldn't even think about in college basketball. They're so talented.
Well, and what I think a really important point along with that, though, is that as we're trying to grow this pie and trying to grow the game, we're not trying to slice it differently to take anything away from men's basketball or men or anybody else. We just want to grow the game and grow the resources and grow the eyeballs to make the pie bigger. And I think sometimes that gets really lost when women start to talk about investing in women, make sure that you're grow, you know, we want to grow the game, that can be interpreted as we're trying to slice the pie differently or take something away from men in sport. And that is not the case. You know, what Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and the publicity of that Final Four did for women in sport is amazing. And the growth, the media rights, the money, the resources that are going to follow are tremendous. But that doesn't take anything away from the men's game, anything away from anybody, that anything that they're doing. And I think that's an important distinction to make.
Yeah, I never had that opinion of it. I always thought that what was right was right.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. We talked briefly about the transfers, the portals, the nils. How do you like that in today's game?
It's interesting. You know, it really doesn't matter if I like it or not. My job is to lead and leverage it well for the growth of my program. So the transfer portal, UCLA and Los Angeles are a very attractive transfer location for NIL purposes, for the location, for just the weather. So I have benefited a lot more than I have had it taken away, so to speak, for the transfer portal. But I do think it's really difficult because you have to recruit your own players back every year. And now you're talking about most of your players are going to be making more money per year than your assistant coaches.
Yes,
and in name, image, and likeness, you know. So all of a sudden now we're just like the pros, you know. And, hey, so if you don't make a change, I don't like that assistant coach, you know, I'm going to transfer. I mean, it's a really weird time in college sports. And so, I don't love some of those things, but my job is to, I do love, for instance, women. I don't think we're ever forced to think about finances and entrepreneurship and investing and taxes at this age before. And so there's an opportunity to learn things that can be skills that are with them the rest of their lives. But there's also real dangers. And, we had the greatest amateur sports organization in the world in college sports in so many ways. And we're in a very tenuous time that it could go either way, or it could come crashing down. It could go, you know, really well, or it could come crashing down.
Evolution of women's basketball is forever changing, just like it is in the NBA, where it's become, you know, pretty much you've got to launch 35, 40 3-point shots in the NBA game to be competitive. How do you see along those same lines the evolution of women's college basketball?
Yeah, you know, similar. I think, the positionless basketball, that, you know, those days of like, hey, you're going to have a low post player, maybe a high post player, and you're going to have maybe a point guard and two wings, and they're going to have in their little boxes. I think those days are over if you want to continue to progress your program. Versatility is the name of the game, right? Whether it be posting up your guards like you're seeing Denver do with Murray,
right?
Or whether you have their center in Jokic taking the ball up the floor and being their point center, you know.
Don't you just love this guy? Don't you just love this guy?
Oh, my gosh. Love him. Love the Denver Nuggets. You know what's so cool is that the last two NBA champions, you talk about the evolution of the game. The last year, the Golden State Warriors, and this year, the Denver Nuggets. And every game they won over those 2 years, the average amount of passes they made in every win was 200 passes per game.
Wow.
Over 200 passes.
Yeah.
You know, you think about the NBA and people think about the ISO ball or whatever else. Those days are over, and I think the women's game is following suit. Anyone who follows me on our program on social media, I post our drills, I post our shooting, and it's all about versatility. And it's all about, you know, spreading the floor, playing beyond the three-point line, and trying to hunt for threes and layups first, and then playing out of that. But I just think that we're following suit, and versatility, spread court, positionless basketball is now the new name of the name of the game.
No question. Are you a stickler for free throws?
Yes. Yes. And so this year, actually, and that's one thing in the women's game, I think there's a little more pride in that.
I do, too.
We
I
had
agree
the number one
you.
Free throw shooting team in the conference, one of the best free throw shooting team I've had in my career. My only complaint is we didn't get there enough. We weren't aggressive enough to take advantage of it. But I'm a huge believer in that, and you're not going to get an easier shot than that. And we just need to raise – we're a very good percentage free throw shooting team. We just need to raise our free throw attempt rate.
No question about that. Geez, this is really terrific. Corey, I want to thank you so much. The time has gone by so fast. I wish you continued success. It was a terrific interview. I enjoyed speaking with you so much. We would love to have you come back. I want to see, maybe we can interview you next year when you win the national championship.
Let's make that a date. Let's do it.
We got you covered. All right. Okay. Thanks so much, Corey.
Thank you so much. All right. Bye now.
Thank you. All right. Terrific interview. I love that. A lot of energy. Looks like she's got her program well under control. We're going to be right back for our final segment right after this.
Here's a simple solution for you. If you have back pain, knee pain, or any other pain in your body, it's as simple as drinking a glass of water every day. Your body is over 60% water, and drinking the best water you can get is crucial for your health. Echo Antioxidant Water, developed by Synergy Science, is the best water you can drink, and it's only available through this special radio offer. Over 1,000 research studies have shown that the powerful antioxidant used in Echo Antioxidant Water can reduce inflammation, improve brain function, help you sleep better, and boost gut health. With just 2 glasses a day, you can experience these benefits right from the comfort of your home. Some people have even replaced their morning coffee jolt with Echo Antioxidant Water. Call now and learn which Echo product by Synergy Science is right for you. We offer free shipping and a full 30-day money-back guarantee. Change your health by simply changing your water.
800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. That's 800-944-1789.
If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone, and AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them, and it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Campy, just fine.
Hey, say, how you doing it?
One game at a one.
Okay, we are back. We'll see about that. Ron Say here with Mike Gary.
A very angry Mike Gary.
Very angry.
Because,
Mike
Ron Say, we have this very short last segment, and last week we both discovered that you and I are both fans of Succession.
Oh,
yeah. The television show on HBO, which wraps up this weekend. Right, yeah. And right. I was so excited for you to come in so we could talk about it today.
I'm so disappointed. We have this family thing at my house. There are certain shows that we watch together, and Succession just happens to be one of those. And I am not allowed to watch that show without my wife's presence. And currently she is off on a little vacation with some girls of hers in Manzanillo, Mexico. And so, you know, she is going to be home for a day before she goes up and visits my daughter for a few days. So I won't be watching the last segment of succession until the middle of next
and so,
week.
And you're not saying this just because you know she listens. It's not like you watched it and you're keeping that a secret.
No, she's really into it. We both are in agreement that this is one of the most highly dysfunctional families in history of television.
If you have a tough family situation out there, just watch Succession and you'll feel a lot better about your situation.
Yeah, boy, you talk about ruthless people. Every single one of those guys has it in them, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. It's you know, you have Logan Roy, and all of his kids have kind of a piece of his own personality, and you know, he has all those sensibilities, which makes him the great king. But real fast, we got about a minute before we have to depart here. Who do you think will go out on top? Who's going to be running the Succession family business? So Waystar Roku.
Oh God, I wouldn't even want to know.
No guesses.
Well, you know, it's gone back and forth. You know, it's, you know, he picked her one time. He wanted Shiv. I don't know where it's going to end up. I don't think I could even predict it because it's gone different ways each and every time that we've had it.
I think it's going to be a cousin Greg, but that's just me.
You think so?
I do think
so. Okay, well, we'll find out pretty
soon.
We'll
see about that.
I just once again want to thank Corey Close for the terrific job that she did on our podcast today. UCLA's women's basketball program is in very good hands. They're going to have a lot of success. Next week, we have a former major leaguer of 14 years, Greg Jeffries, who just so happens to be a guy that idolized the Penguin. We'll see you next week.